ever feel like the way we learn about faith could use a little, what's the word, a refresh?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, how do we keep something so ancient relevant in a world that's, well, obsessed with everything new?
Hmm.
You know what? You're not alone. The Uniting Church in Australia, they're asking those same questions.
Really?
And we're going to dive into a whole bunch of their research and uncover some really fascinating answers for you.
That's great. Yeah, it is a real head scratcher, isn't it?
Yeah.
This whole tension between the old ways of, you know, passing on faith.
Right.
And the realities of, well, the 21st century.
Exactly. And the research, it paints this picture of a church that's at a crossroads. Like, a couple of decades ago, things just started to shift.
Yeah, around the time when, especially in the West, you know, congregations, they began to shrink.
Yeah.
And this decline, it really forced churches to sort of look in the mirror and examine.
Yeah.
How effective were their methods for teaching and nurturing faith?
So it's like a come to Jesus
yeah.
moment, right?
Exactly. And in the midst of all this,
yeah.
you have these brilliant minds like C.L.S. Milson,
yeah.
John Westerhoff, and Charles Foster.
Yeah.
And they were saying, hey, maybe Christian education is bigger than just classrooms and textbooks.
Yeah, they're really emphasizing that whole idea of socialization, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that faith is something you kind of catch. Just as much as you learn it.
It's like, you know, you absorb the values and beliefs of your community just by being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You see how people live their faith, how they support each other,
yeah.
how they respond to challenges, you know.
Right.
And that lived experience, well, it shapes your understanding of faith just as much as any formal instruction.
Oh, absolutely. That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
So how does all of this play out in the Uniting Church specifically?
Well, the Uniting Church in Australia, it has its own unique story. They had these powerhouse organizations dedicated to Christian education.
Okay.
The Joint Board of Christian Education, the JBCE, or Uniting Education.
So these organizations, these were like the central hubs.
Exactly.
For developing resources and training educators.
Yeah, highly respected.
Wow.
Even gained international recognition for their innovative approaches.
Wow, that's amazing.
But over time, these organizations, they started to decline.
Really?
And eventually were folded into the church's mission departments.
That seems like a big shift. What drove that change?
It suggests a change in focus for the Uniting Church.
Yeah.
It's like they were saying, look, it's not enough to just teach people about faith. We need to be, you know, actively living it out in the world.
So it's a more outward-looking approach.
Yes.
It's putting a greater emphasis on mission and social action.
Exactly. But then the research throws us a curveball with the National Church Life Survey.
Oh, okay.
The NCLS, it revealed this interesting paradox.
Okay.
Uniting Church members, they really value those informal learning experiences,
mm-hmm.
things like, you know, connecting with others during a service,
right.
or having those heart-to-heart conversations with fellow members.
Those authentic connections, those shared experiences.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
What's that?
They weren't as keen on those formal educational programs.
Really? So people love learning about their faith through real-life interactions, but organized classes, not so much.
Yeah, it does seem counterintuitive.
It really does.
And it raises a crucial question, you know?
What's that?
How can churches create learning experiences that are both structured and engaging,
yeah.
but also feel natural and relevant to people's lives?
Right.
How do you balance those two seemingly opposite needs?
Well, that's a great question. And one of the ideas our sources propose is this concept of learning communities.
Okay.
This is a concept that, well, it has roots in the business world,
okay.
but it's incredibly relevant to how we think about churches. It challenges us to rethink where and how learning happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not confined to a classroom
yeah.
or a specific program.
Mm.
The entire community becomes a space for growth.
It's like that saying, life is a classroom, but applied to the whole church experience.
Yeah, precisely.
Mm-hmm.
Every interaction, every shared event, every conversation, it all has the potential to be a learning opportunity.
Yeah.
And there's this guy named Peter Senge.
Okay.
He did some really fascinating work on what he called learning organizations.
Okay.
And he came up with these five disciplines for cultivating learning within organizations,
mm-hmm.
which, and this might be a bit of a leap, but
yeah.
could have some powerful applications for churches as well.
Oh, absolutely.
His work emphasizes creating an environment where learning is continuous.
Right.
And everyone feels empowered to contribute their unique insights.
It's not just about you know, receiving information,
Right.
about actively participating
Yeah.
in the learning process.
And this ties in beautifully with that idea of a learning church,
Yeah.
where everyone is both a student and a teacher, constantly learning from each other's experiences and perspectives. And this shift in thinking about how and where learning takes place, it really makes you rethink the role of the minister. They've traditionally been viewed as the teacher, right?
Yes.
Standing at the pulpit, delivering the message.
Yeah, but we're seeing this exciting evolution toward what's called educational leadership.
Okay.
It's less about being the holder of all knowledge
Right.
and more about guiding and facilitating the learning process for the entire community.
So it's less about lecturing and more about mentoring.
Exactly.
It's about creating the space for people to explore their faith, ask tough questions, and discover their own unique paths.
Yeah.
Richard Osmer, he's a scholar who's done a lot of work in this area.
Okay.
He actually reframes the act of teaching as doing practical theology, which I think that captures this shift perfectly.
Yeah, it's about helping people live their faith, not just learn about it. It's about taking those theological concepts and making them relevant to people's everyday lives, their relationships, their work, their struggles, everything. And this all ties in perfectly with something you're deeply interested in.
Yeah, yeah.
How churches are adapting to the 21st century.
Right.
And it seems like the Uniting Church, like many others, is putting a big emphasis on discipleship and mission as part of their strategies for navigating this changing landscape.
It goes beyond just maintaining membership numbers or preserving traditions.
It's about nurturing a faith that's active and engaged.
Yeah.
A faith that spills out into the world and makes a tangible difference.
It's about equipping people to be active participants in their faith and in their communities.
Exactly. But here's where things get really interesting.
Uh-huh.
Our research points to this curious disconnect between Christian education scholars and missiologists.
Missiologists, I have to admit, that one's new to me.
They're experts in the theology and practice of mission. The work of sharing and living out one's faith in the world.
Got it. So what's the disconnect?
It seems like these two critical conversations, you know, how we teach and how we live out our faith.
Right.
They're happening in parallel, but not really intersecting.
So it's almost like two branches of the same tree growing in different directions.
A perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And that lack of conversation, well, it might be a big reason why some churches struggle to connect learning with real-world action.
Right.
It's like they're missing that crucial link between knowledge and application.
So we've got this fascinating tension, right,
yeah,
between what people say they value in their faith journey.
Right.
And the way churches have, well, traditionally approached education.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this call for action and engagement, but also this deep appreciation for those informal personal connections.
Yeah.
How do you bridge that gap?
That's the $1 million question, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And the Uniting Church, with its diverse membership, it's like a microcosm of this larger struggle within Christianity.
The 2016 NCLS research showed a huge, huge range in the education levels of Uniting Church members.
Really?
Everything from folks with PhDs,
wow,
to those who left school after primary. That's a pretty broad spectrum to cater to.
It is, and it highlights the need for flexible and engaging learning experiences,
yeah,
that can resonate with people from all walks of life.
It's not just about catering to different education levels.
Right.
It's about recognizing the diverse ways people connect with their faith.
Absolutely.
And research also showed that sermons and preaching, they remain a highly valued source of learning and inspiration,
yeah,
for Uniting Church members.
It's that classic image of the minister as teacher, right?
Right.
Sharing wisdom and guidance from the pulpit.
But at the same time, the research also emphasizes the importance of community and practical support,
yeah,
as essential aspects of faith formation.
Yeah. It's like people are saying, inspire me with your words, but also walk alongside me on this journey. Be there for me in practical ways.
Exactly. And that brings us right back to the paradox we discussed earlier.
Right.
People, they crave those informal relational connections, but the traditional formal educational programs,
yeah,
they don't seem to be cutting it.
So how do we square that circle?
That's the question.
How do we create learning opportunities that feel both organic and intentional, you know, structured and spontaneous?
Well, that's where those concepts of learning communities and Peter Senge's learning organizations come into play.
Okay.
They offer some practical pathways for bridging that gap.
Can you unpack that a bit more? What might those ideas look like in action?
Sure. Imagine a church where every interaction is viewed as a potential learning opportunity.
Okay.
Coffee hour after the service
Yeah.
becomes a space for theological reflection.
I like that.
Volunteering at a local soup kitchen becomes a lesson in compassion and social justice.
So it's about seeing the whole church experience as a classroom,
Yeah.
blurring those lines between formal and informal learning.
Exactly. And Senge's five disciplines, they offer a framework for making that vision a reality.
Okay.
And one of the key disciplines is systems thinking, which encourages us to see the interconnectedness of everything within a system.
So instead of viewing different ministries or programs as separate silos,
Right.
you start to see how they all contribute to the larger ecosystem of learning within the church.
Precisely. Sunday school for the kids, Bible study groups for adults, outreach programs in the community, they all become these threads
Yeah.
woven into the tapestry of learning.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's
Yeah.
like you're creating this dynamic web where learning can happen anywhere and anytime.
And within that web, the role of the minister takes on a new dimension.
Right.
It's less about being the sage on the stage
Yes.
and more about being the guide on the side.
Yeah. We talked earlier about this shift towards educational leadership, right?
Right.
And how that reshapes the way ministers approach their role.
Think of it like a gardener
Okay.
tending to a diverse ecosystem.
Yeah.
They're not dictating how each plant should grow,
Right.
but they're creating the conditions for each one to flourish.
That's a great analogy.
And Richard Osmer's idea of doing practical theology,
Yes.
it captures that approach perfectly.
It's about helping people connect their faith with their lives, to grapple with the complexities of the world around them
Yeah.
and find ways to make their faith relevant.
So instead of just teaching people about theology, you're helping them do theology to make it an active part of their lives.
Exactly. And this is where theological education itself needs to evolve.
Okay.
It's not enough for seminaries to just equip future ministers with knowledge.
Right.
They need to give them the practical skills to guide and facilitate this kind of experiential learning.
It's like the difference between learning how to build a house from a textbook
Yeah.
versus actually getting out there and hammering nails alongside an experienced carpenter.
I love that analogy.
It's about learning by doing, about
Yeah.
making faith something tangible and applicable to real life.
And that brings us to those core concepts that the Uniting Church is emphasizing: discipleship and mission.
These ideas seem to be at the heart of their strategy for moving forward, for
Yeah.
figuring out how to thrive in a changing world.
It's about recognizing that faith is not a spectator sport,
Right.
right? It's about following Jesus in a way that transforms both you and the world around you.
So how do these concepts of discipleship and mission, how do they connect with this new vision for Christian education?
That's where the rubber meets the road. If churches are serious about creating disciples who are actively engaged in mission,
Right.
then they need to create learning environments that foster those qualities.
So instead of just teaching about the history of the church or the finer points of doctrine, you're creating experiences that help people grapple with the real world challenges of living out their faith.
Exactly. Imagine a youth group that spends a weekend volunteering at a homeless shelter,
Okay.
or a Bible study group that partners with a local organization working for social justice.
So it's about taking those theological ideas and turning them into action, making faith come alive in a way that impacts the community and the world.
And that approach could be a powerful way to bridge the gap between learning and action,
Right.
which was one of the key concerns we identified earlier.
It's about moving beyond the walls of the church
Yes.
and engaging with the complexities of the world.
And speaking of the world beyond the church walls,
Yeah.
this is where that disconnect between Christian education and missiology becomes really significant.
It's almost like these two worlds, the world of learning and the world of action,
Right.
they're
Yeah.
speaking different languages,
Yeah.
even though they're both rooted in the same faith.
Imagine the possibilities if those worlds started having a real dialogue.
I know, right?
What if Christian education drew more from the insights of missiology?
Yeah.
What if missiologists looked to the best practices of teaching and learning to enhance their work?
It feels like there's so much potential for synergy and innovation if those two fields started collaborating more intentionally.
Absolutely.
We've covered a lot of ground here,
Yeah.
exploring the challenges and opportunities facing the Uniting Church as they well, they try to adapt their approach to Christian education.
It's clear that they're grappling with some big questions, Ronan.
It is.
How do we make faith relevant in a rapidly changing world?
Right.
How do we create learning experiences that resonate with a diverse range of people?
Yeah.
How do we bridge the gap between learning and action?
But amidst all these questions, one crucial aspect remains.
And what's that?
The very content of Christian education. What are we actually teaching?
Right.
And how do we frame those teachings in a way that speaks to the hearts and minds of people today?
It's like we're asking, what does it actually mean,
yeah,
you know, to be a Christian in the 21st century?
Right.
What are those core beliefs and practices that define this faith?
Yeah.
And how do those translate into a life of purpose and meaning,
right,
in a world that's constantly changing?
It's almost like figuring out what the curriculum should be.
Exactly.
For modern discipleship.
And it seems like the Uniting Church is really wrestling with those questions, just like, you know, many other denominations.
Right.
They're looking for ways to connect that ancient wisdom of their faith with the lived experiences of people today.
So it's not just about preserving tradition, but about finding ways to make it relevant.
Exactly.
And applicable to modern life.
And our sources, they point to a shift away from simply memorizing scripture or doctrine. It's more about helping people understand how their faith intersects with the complexities of the world around them.
So it's less about having all the right answers.
Right.
And more about asking the right questions, having those difficult conversations.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to live out your faith in practical ways.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
It's about equipping people to engage in thoughtful dialogue about faith. To wrestle with ethical dilemmas,
yeah,
and to find ways to make their beliefs tangible in the world.
It's about moving beyond dogma and embracing dialogue and action.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that resonates with the work of Charles Foster,
who
emphasized the importance of hospitality, celebration, and conversation as core practices for nurturing faith.
I love that. It creates this foundation of warmth and openness,
and
genuine connection, which feels essential for any meaningful learning to take place.
Right. It's hard to grapple with big questions or challenge long-held assumptions if you don't feel safe and welcomed.
Absolutely. And if we circle back to that disconnect between Christian education and missiology, it seems like there's this huge opportunity to weave a deeper understanding of mission into the teachings of the church.
What if, for example, you know, every Sunday school class included a component that challenged people to consider how their faith could inspire them to act for justice or to serve their neighbors?
Or what if Bible study groups partnered with local organizations working to address social issues?
Exactly.
It's about weaving mission into the very fabric of the learning experience.
It seems like such a natural connection.
It really does.
Yet for some reason, it often gets overlooked.
So we're seeing this potential shift in both the content and context of Christian education.
Yes.
Moving towards a more experiential, hands-on approach
that's
deeply connected to mission and the needs of the community.
But what does all of this mean for the listener? Why should they care about how churches are adapting and evolving?
That's a great question.
I think it's relevant for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
First, you know, if you're part of a faith community,
understanding
these trends can help you be a more informed and engaged member.
You can start asking those questions,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You can advocate for the kinds of learning experiences that you find most meaningful and impactful.
But even if you're not a churchgoer, these ideas can still offer valuable insights into how communities adapt to changing times.
Yeah, absolutely.
The challenges faced by churches, declining membership, shifting cultural values,
right,
the need to connect with younger generations.
Yeah.
These are challenges faced by many institutions today.
So whether you're a theologian, a community leader, or just someone curious about the evolving role of faith in society,
this deep dive gives you a glimpse into a world that's wrestling with some pretty big questions about the future of belief and belonging.
And as we wrap up, I think it's worth pondering this one final thought.
Okay.
We've talked about the importance of bridging the gap between Christian education and mission.
Mm-hmm.
But what about bridging the gap between faith and doubt?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
What do you mean?
How can churches create spaces where it's okay to wrestle with uncertainty,
Right.
to ask tough questions, and to embrace the mystery of faith? That's
Yeah.
something that goes beyond any specific program or curriculum
Right.
and speaks to the very heart of what it means to be human in a world that often feels both beautiful and bewildering.
It's about recognizing that faith isn't about having all the answers,
Right.
but about having the courage to keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep exploring.
Exactly. It's about finding those connections that make faith come alive in your own life and in the world around you.
So keep diving deep, keep those conversations going, and keep searching for those moments of truth and meaning that make this journey so worthwhile.
Yeah.